Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to the World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At the World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great.
You know, we're doing one of our favorite things to do on the show tonight, which is occasionally you just got to geek out, right?
You just got every now and then you just got to be a fanboy, right? I mean, We do, you know, the majority of our shows are dealing with, you know, current events, you know, science, things like that. But every now and then you just got to have fun with this, and that's what we're doing tonight. So if you're new to the show, this is not a bad one to introduce yourself to the World Transformed with. We're going to have some fun tonight.
Well, we're going to have a little bit of fun, and we will make it about the future before we're done, because that's how we roll. But we're going to talk a little bit about two of our favorite franchises, very different, about as different as two franchises can be, that have both been revived in the past few months, one of which I think everybody heard about and was a big deal to the whole world, and that's Star Wars, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And the other one, not as big a big deal, more of an iconic franchise from the 90s, but near and dear to our hearts, and that's The X-Files, which came back in January for 6 episodes. On Fox after being off the air for, I don't know, what, 8, 9 years? A long time, anyway. It had been gone for a while and then came back. There was a movie in between, and I think we did talk about the movie somewhere along the line.
There's been two movies. So,
but the first movie was during the run of the show. And there's been another movie since the end of it. Yeah, the first movie was, like, pretty awesome because it was, you know, it had things that, you know, carried over from episodes of the show, and then things from the movie showed up in the series. That was kind of cool. Something that Marvel has learned about in their TV franchises and, you know, kind of their whole superhero universe that they're unfolding in both TV and the movies. So that was kind of groundbreaking that way. But here we have 6 episodes of The Adventures of Special Agents Fox Mulder and Dana Scully. They've been to hell and back, basically, trying to figure out government conspiracies, trying to get to the truth about UFOs. And I got to say that you can't go home again. I guess that's my verdict on the X-Files. Certainly those 6 episodes had some wonderful moments. It was great to see those two actors back playing those parts, but it left me feeling kind of unsatisfied and flat. I felt like the beginning of it was a big cheat. Spoilers, by the way, when basically Chris Carter just reset his whole universe, reset the whole myth arc for X-Files going into it. And I don't think the episodes that followed ever recovered from that. There were some great moments in some of those following episodes, but I feel that it started out on a bad footing and never quite recovered. What did you think?
Yeah, and which would make it difficult. You know, you can't come back and do those 6 episodes, by the way, are considered season 10. You know, and so, you know, if they do a season 11, you can't ignore season 10.
Right.
And just go back to the original story arc. You've got to, you know, it's there now, and so you either, you know, continue with the story of season 10, or you just, you know, lay it to bed. And so, what do you think? I mean, are you up for season 11 if they make it? Are you going to watch or
of course,
you know, is it so bad? Or do you feel so let down that you're done with X-Files now?
No, I'll watch it. I'm not going to pretend I won't watch it. I'll at least watch a few episodes to see if they recover, right, if they bounce it back. I mean, one of the things when Jim Eldridge was on a few weeks ago, he said, and this was a good point, you know, when I complained that they had completely rewritten the myth arc, he said, yeah, but they always did that. And that's actually a pretty good point. You know, to kind of keep you guessing so that you never really knew what was going on. But I must say that I don't like the current version of the myth arc at all. Okay, I'm very... I'm very appalled with okay, so we're doing spoilers, right? So it turns out
they're
flying the spaceships around. The humans are flying around in the spaceships abducting people because they killed the aliens when they first showed up at Roswell.
Yeah, and there hadn't been any aliens since. No aliens since at all. It's been humans all along, and that's not, you know, that's not consistent with the Mulder-y goodness that we had in the first nine seasons at all, is it? So
not at all. No, it feels like a big retcon, and it just feels like a cheat, and it's hard to get happy after that. It was
well, you know, they had the Monster of the Week episode that I thought was actually kind of fun. Which episode was that where it was like this reptilian creature? You know,
the lizard guy. Yeah, and he was the guy from... Flight of the Conchords, too. I love that. I don't know his name, but he was funny. And
that was a good episode. You know,
yeah, it was a good, weird, funny episode. I did enjoy that a lot. Because you didn't know
so
where
one,
it was going to go. You know,
so one-sixth of the season, you're on board with. So, you know, that's...
that's not much. They introduced new characters. Well, there were parts I liked. When Mulder was tripping on mushrooms in the finale... And
that was
the lone gunman. That was cool. Yeah. Okay, you know, when the big cowboy there was assistant director Skinner, and then other people at the party turned out to be the lone gunman, and he's having this vision. That was pretty cool. But
I thought it was actually brave, right? Because it's remarkably rare. I'm just going out on a limb here. It's remarkably rare when anything in popular culture, any movie bad guy is allowed to be Islamic. I mean, I'll just say that. It's just,
they did do that. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, this was Islamic terrorism in the final episode of these six episodes. It's just straight up. That's what it was. And they didn't paint with a broad brush saying all, you know, that's all that Islam is. You know, they had some characters in that episode that, you know, that were Islamic, and they were not terrorists, and the
guy we were following was somehow sort of a good Islamic terrorist, if there is such a thing. But,
yeah,
right,
he was caught up in some bad crap, but you know,
he somehow got caught up in bad crap. Do that, and you strap a bomb to your chest. But we digress.
Right.
Okay, we got no time for this issue because we've got no time for the X-Files. I'm gonna close out the X-Files by saying, disappointed. If they do more, they really got to step it up and find a way to bring the lone gunman back to life. If you're going to cheat, bring them back to life, right? If you're going to cheat, that's the thing to do. Bring those guys back and make the show fun and, you know, set it back in the 90s. I don't care. Do something, but, that's my final word. I'm sorry.
Okay. And I agree. I lost interest about halfway through the episodes. I did finish it, especially that last episode. It caught my interest at the last episode, so I was on board for the end of it, but my attention waned in those short six episodes, so they got to step up the game, no doubt.
That is not a good sign. Okay, so now we're going to have Star Wars, and we've got 19 minutes, okay, to talk about Star Wars The Force Awakens, and we did talk about it briefly right after the film came out, after we'd both had a chance.
But we decided no spoilers, we couldn't do it, not everybody had a chance to see it. So now's our chance to talk spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie, and what's wrong with you, number one? And number two, too bad. We're about to talk spoilers, so turn off the show and go watch the movie. But and come back, because we're going to have some interesting things to say here, I hope.
Okay, well, let me give the biggest spoiler, because I've had a lot of time to think about this movie. It's interesting. I went to see it with my daughter and my son-in-law. And my son-in-law's initial reaction, he's a huge Star Wars fan, was he hated it, which
really?
was interesting. And he hated it for reasons that would never even occurred to me. Okay, to hate a movie. But he hated it that there were no big space battles. And there really are no big space battles. And in fact, One of my problems with J.J. Abrams as a director who's been given the two greatest space franchises of all time is that he doesn't seem to like to put spaceships into space. He's always got them flying around, you know, in atmosphere.
In the atmosphere and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he seems uncomfortable with space for a guy who's taken on Star Trek and Star Wars. But, you know, that's not the kind of thing that would ruin a movie for me. You know, I'm like, well, I can see where that's a problem, Eli. But you know, I'm okay with it. And by the next day, he was okay with it too. You know, he thought better of that. But as I reflect on the movie, I think I have some objections to this film. And here's my biggest one. Okay, so for all those who have stayed on, even though you haven't had any spoilers yet, let me spoil the movie for you. I can completely spoil the movie for you. Just watch Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, right? And essentially, you've already seen this movie. Is that fair or not fair?
It's not fair, but it's close. You know, history doesn't repeat itself, Phil. History rhymes, though, right?
Yeah.
So that's this. You know, this movie rhymes.
One of George Lucas's ideas. He was trying to rhyme things in his prequels, right?
And that's what happens here. I mean, you got this on a desert planet. You've got this, poor orphan that's out in the desert, dreaming of this better life and being a part of something bigger than themselves. And they get caught up in this adventure, and because of a droid that has special information inside of it.
Right.
And then eventually there's a planet killing a weapon that has to be destroyed, and they're part of it, and of course the forces involved in lightsaber battles and yada yada yada, and the end, you know. after a Death Star type thing is destroyed. It's that is all, you know, exactly the same in both movies, right?
Yes.
But it's, you know, how many times have you seen Episode 4 in your life, Phil?
Many times.
Did you feel on your ninth viewing of Star Wars that, man, this sucks compared to the eighth time I watched it?
No, but I never thought, hey, you know what I need is a slightly different version of this with a girl, right?
Yeah, and a feminine Luke Skywalker, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with a really big Death Star, you know, I mean, you know, that argument cuts both ways, right? I hear what you're saying, and it's true. Yeah. It's like, well, you got to do something if you're making the new one. You can't do what was going on in the prequels. Right. So what do you do? I mean, it's a dilemma for if you're the filmmakers. It's like, well, let's go back and cut it as close as we can to what we absolutely know works. And if there's one bona fide, successful, nobody's going to argue with it Star Wars movie, right? It's Episode
4. The original.
Nobody much is going to argue with Empire Strikes Back either. But it's like if you make a movie that's like that, people have got to be happy with it. And guess what? It worked. People were very happy with it. And I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I didn't like it. This is all on reflection, right? You understand?
Right, right.
You know, as a fan, I enjoyed the movie immensely. And I thought it was really well acted, actually, you know, compared to any of the previous Star Wars movies. Let's face it, any of the ones we've seen before, they're
been. Yeah, problems. I mean, even the original Star Wars, it came from behind. Didn't have necessarily the best acting, but it was a wonderful adventure, and I felt that this was a wonderful adventure, somewhat very reminiscent of that first movie, but had some new things. I thought that the new Star Wars characters that are introduced, Finn, Daisy, were as compelling as the legacy cast to me. It was just fun to watch these new folks, Poe, all of these new characters were as compelling to me as, getting to see Han Solo and Chewie again, which is, to me, the shock of the movie. You know, you think, it's like when your favorite band comes to town, we want to hear the good stuff. We have no interest in hearing what you came out with last year. We play the stuff you when you were big back in the 70s. That's and so you would expect that to be the case here, and it wasn't. I was just as interested in these new people as Luke and Han and Chewie and Leia and certainly the droids. So I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Okay, but I'm gonna challenge that. Do you find Kylo Ren as compelling a character as Darth Vader?
Darth Vader's the best bad guy ever. That's almost unfair. to ask him to come up with as good of a bad guy as Darth Vader was. That's hard to do. I'm going to tell you, that actor's got crazy down pretty great. I mean,
he does. Yes.
Yeah, he comes across as unhinged and you know, tortured. He's trying to put down any good feeling the light side of the Force. He's trying to banish it from himself completely and go totally dark. And he's struggling. And of course, the biggest spoiler that we'll probably tell tonight is what happened between him and his father Han Solo. And that was a tough thing to watch. I mean, a beloved character like Han Solo being killed by his own son is pretty tough.
That was really harsh. That was really dark. And it speaks to kind of one big difference you could point out between this movie and the original Star Wars is a difference in tone.
Right.
It is a much darker film. And it's got to be, you know, because that's the climax. When you get to that, you're just like, oh no! I mean, that hurts on so many levels, right? It's like, well, you don't want Han Solo to die because he's the coolest guy in the universe, right? And you're watching this son murder his father, and you're watching, Rey's watching the whole thing, and it's this echo, right, of Luke seeing Ben struck down by Vader. Which really seems very stylized and not all that big a deal in comparison, right? I mean, this was a gut shot. Should have seen it coming and didn't. One of the most effective things in the movie, actually, because I did not realize that was going to happen, and I'm just like devastated when it happens, and just kind of in disbelief for a few minutes, and then we're like, well, did that really? Han Solo's dead? And his son killed him, because then, you start thinking about one of the problems you have when you're making a Star Wars movie is the evil characters. You know, how do you explain the evil? How do you how do you put it into context? And one of the reasons that Lucas got totally bogged down in the prequels was trying to give Anakin Skywalker a reason for becoming evil, and it wasn't very satisfying. And in this movie, this guy just wants to be evil, which doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, if you have a more traditional view of what evil is, evil is usually, as Lucas had it, going about trying to make something good happen the wrong way. This guy just wants to be evil. But you believe it, because it's like, okay, well, he's a psychotic, I guess, is what you're left with. But that then becomes a moment where you look at this guy and you go, okay, well, this guy's not going to come back to the good side, and we're going to feel redemption in the end of this, right? I mean, there's no way that can happen after this character does that. Is that fair to say, or am I just still too upset about Han Solo being killed?
I don't know, but I would be shocked if they make a trilogy 7, 8, and 9. Where Kylo Ren is redeemed at the end of 9 or something. I don't see it happening. I think he's gone. I think Patterside is one step too far for redemption, perhaps. But it's particularly when the father we're talking about is Han Solo. So yeah, I think that character is gone. But interesting thing we haven't really talked about. Where's Luke this whole time, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The whole impetus for the story was, what the secret that was being held by the droid on that desert planet was a part of the mystery of how to find Luke. Luke just went missing. And I presume, based on other things in the movie, that Luke had this Jedi school that went bad, you know,
right.
And part of and the Knights of the Ren came right out of his Jedi school and slaughtered the what was left of the good of the Jedi school, and Luke just, I don't know, he was crushed by it, whatever. He took off, but left clues so that he could be found if need be, I guess. And
right.
And so it's
all kind of ridiculously contrived when you describe it.
It's a little bit contrived.
The kind of
but
thing
maybe,
that makes
maybe
a movie
they'll, maybe they'll maybe in eight will explain this better to
yeah.
and make it a little more satisfying. A good sequel to Seven will make Seven better, and that's
right.
And I hold out hope. Not that I thought Seven was bad. I thought Seven was great. It was a lot of fun. I remember sitting there smiling with a big old grin on my face, you know, most of the movie, just like I'm a kid again. You know, I mean, it's in 1980s and I'm watching another great Star Wars movie. That's how I felt watching it. And so I loved the experience of going to see it. And even in reflection, it's not the perfect movie. Come on, Leia, hug Chewie. I mean, come on. Why hug the new character who barely knew your husband, hug Chewie. So it's not the perfect movie, but
right.
it's a very good movie. And I think it's a good reboot or a good restart. You know, it's not a reboot cause it's not starting over, but it's a good relaunch of the franchise, and I think we can expect some great things out of the next.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping.
I'm
interested to see Luke come into it as kind of a Obi-Wan character in the next one. You know, like Obi-Wan was in the first one.
He looks the part, doesn't he? He looks like
he looks a lot like him. Yeah, yet there's a lot of explaining he has to do, I think.
Yeah, you got some explaining to do, Luke. What's the deal? You create a mess and then just leave. I mean. Come on.
Yeah, you're the hero. This whole thing is really sort of your story. And where are you, you know, when everything's going bad? You should be there in the midst of it. But you know, there's a backstory there, and we'll get it. We got hints of it, I think, in the first one. Who this young woman is, actually, has got to be revealed. That we might find that out in the second movie. We might not find that out until later. There's a lot of fun to be had yet with this. I hope it stays good. You know, I hope that they continue to be enjoyable. I don't think I'm going to be as excited about Star Wars now as I used to be. I think that's kind of the big difference. I somewhere in the prequels and leading up to this one, it's like you dared to hope again. And as good as this was, it's still, in my view, not really it. You know what I mean? It's a good take. It's a good version. It's got a lot going for it. Certainly better than the X-Files reboot. I can say that without any fear of contradiction. But to me, it's kind of like this. You know, what's the guy's name? Now I can't think of it. Anyway, famous English poet, can't think of his name, but he said there's two great tragedies in the world. One is to never get what you always wanted, and the other is to get it. And I think that's what happens with these franchises. You know, either the creator just keeps doing stuff, and they go off in this crappy direction, right, like happened with the prequels and like kind of happened with the X-Files, or you sort of let the fans take over, and then... You know, the whole thing becomes kind of fan service, and it'll never, it can't be original anymore because the fans want to see what they've seen before. You know what I mean? To me, the great example of the franchise that was killed by the fans was Stargate, Stargate Universe. Did you ever watch that show?
I did. Yeah.
And I thought it was great. It was this really original take. I enjoyed all the Stargate shows. I'm not partial, but I really enjoyed Universe because I thought they did some fun new stuff with it. And apparently it was just savaged by fans from the start, and it eventually led to the show's demise. And of course I've always wondered what would happen to those characters next.
The tone was completely different. I mean, if you're a fan of Stargate Atlantis and you jump into Stargate Universe, you go, what the heck? I mean,
yeah, how can this
Battlestar Galactica now? What happened?
and it was kind of Stargate Galactica. I mean, it had a little bit of that.
Stargate Galactica. Yeah, exactly what it was.
Going for it. But the thing is, you know, it's like either the creator of the franchise becomes its worst enemy, or the fans become its own worst enemy. And as I was thinking this over earlier tonight, I was thinking about talking about this. I've come to an unsettling conclusion, Stephen. And I don't know if you're ready for this. I hope you're sitting down. But I'm starting to think maybe franchises aren't that great an idea, right? I think maybe they need to just, you know, you have one movie or you have a couple movies, but maybe just having something go on and on and on isn't a great idea. Maybe
I keep holding out hope for plans 1 through 8, you know, from space, from outer space. You know, 8 prequels. I need them. You know, come on.
I mean, well, we were talking about that the other day about the Scorpion King. But of course, whoever thought that was going to be a good idea anyway? I don't know how. You know, something.
Yeah,
you
we decided that Scorpion King 2 being a prequel to the Scorpion King was a prequel to a spinoff of a sequel of a remake. Most convoluted.
And yet it wasn't very good. That's the.
Yeah, and yet it managed not to be good.
Yeah.
that's remarkable. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm still a huge fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Love that, and looking very much forward to Civil War coming up. And I mean, and one of the things that keeps that series of movies fresh is that they're not afraid to go in any kind of direction with it. You know, you got Guardians of the Galaxy that's just a goofy space opera, and you got Winter Soldier, which is, you know, almost like you know, All the President's Men with superheroes.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It tones very, very vastly. You know, Ant-Man, side by side with Winter Soldier. That's how can they even be in the same universe? But they are. And it's fun, that particular franchise I'm a huge fan of. Of course, Star Wars, I think I like Star Wars better than you, Phil. I will give it 1.5 thumbs up. It sounds like you might give it a weak 1 thumb up, right? So.
I don't know. I'm torn. Because on the one hand, I really enjoyed the movie. It's just on reflection that all this other stuff comes up. Maybe the key is that you just shouldn't think about movies too much. Maybe we shouldn't do shows.
Perhaps we should, take William Shatner's advice and get a life, right?
And on that note, we're out of time, Stephen. So I think we'll let Shatner have the last word. Thank you all for being with us. We'll be back with another couple or maybe even 3 brand new shows next week. And until next time, live to see it.